Hello and welcome to the October 16th edition of still yet unnamed PC gaming podcast. We'll just call it the new 97.5.
Have you seen on iTunes now? It actually says like Podcast X-13. It doesn't actually say GFW.
That's kind of an awesome name.
It does kind of have awesome just like name. A random fucked up name.
Like I was gonna ask what to call this fucker now, but. Now I know, X-13.
Our listeners had a whole lot of suggestions.
You see that with trepidation.
Yeah, they were all really bad.
I liked the one that was like...
There were a couple good ones. I stress a couple.
The Ryan Scott Hour, and it had your picture, and then it said white women only.
Yeah, I don't think I want to perpetuate that false...
Well, then you need to change your ways, man.
Yeah, you need to dunk your fiance and find yourself a mixed race girl.
Yeah.
Off to a great start.
So I am your host, Ryan Scott. I am sorry once again. So let's go around.
I apologize.
Introduce ourselves.
All right. I'm Tina, known as Tina. On the boards.
I'm Matt Chandranay.
I am Robert Ashley.
Yay, known as Robert Ashley.
Yay, Robert
Max
Ashley.
Chilius Esquire the Fourth. I don't know.
Doesn't
Bobito.
Yeah, I'm Anthony. What up, bitches?
So you got Robert and Anthony. Have you guys heard from Sean Elliott since he moved away?
I just got done writing him a message before I came downstairs.
Message on what? Like on Facebook or something?
Yeah, he just messaged me and said, I'm still waiting for my shit. I want to play Invent.
So he's alive. Okay.
Yeah.
I got a text message that basically said that. And then I tried to IM him on Google Mail. I was like, hey, what's up? And then 15 hours later, I got an email reply that said, yo. Wow.
I still follow his Twitter profile and he's posting shit again, so I assume that he is at least somewhat internet enabled.
Yeah. Honestly, if you're not Rory Mannion, he's not IMing you.
Oh shit.
So.
Really? Yeah. Is that why?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he sent me a Facebook message and then
that's all
emailed
you get though. I guarantee you he gets on a secret AIM account just to chat with Rory.
Wow.
Best friends.
I mean, you gotta get off how you gotta get off, you know? It's just a biological fact.
I miss Sean a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Speaking of former podcast people, you had an encounter with Jeff Green in Little Big Planet recently.
I did, although it was not actually Jeff Green. I was just playing the beta about a week ago and playing through some of the user created levels, and it was not a particularly interesting level. And I was kind of just mindlessly, frolicking through the level and I picked up one of the stickers. You know, you can get a sticker in the game that people left and leave behind. And it was a picture of Jeff Green. And it was so fucking weird to me.
So it just randomly out of the blue, there's Jeff Green?
Yeah, it wasn't like a Brodeo themed level or like a Jeff Green themed level. It was just a regular level. And then at some point in the level, you come across a sticker with Jeff Green's face.
It was the Houston We Have a Problem level.
Look like
it would be really Jewish.
I don't know if it was Houston We Have a Problem, because I remember that level and I remember this level as being only notable for the Jeff Green.
I think it was Houston We Have a Problem.
It was
me and Alice both got it as well.
Unless there's more than one level with a Jeff Green reward,
it's possible.
That is very possible.
It's possible.
Every subsequent level me and Alice would go into, we'd slap it in there. We were doing that bank heist one, and we slapped it on the wheels of that giant vehicle, so there's just a rotating Jeff Green face. It's rad.
The awesome thing was, is I took that picture, and it made the circle, and it came back around to me.
Nice. That's
and now cool. You're wondering why you aren't getting your 5 cents every time someone uses it.
Yeah, that shit's not royalty free, bitches. Pay me my money.
I've been enjoying that game, but I can't help but think that it would have been so much better if it were on a PC.
Yeah.
I gotta say that, if only because it's so close to
we have to
using.
Say that.
I have to say that.
No,
this is the
no.
PC podcast.
I think I honestly think it kind of sucks how limited you are in what you can do with it. You can't add your own JPEGs. You can't add music. You can't. You know, imagine if it was on the PC. I guarantee
better.
You, it would take
you
like
so?
It would take a week before people started embedding fucking YouTube videos. You know, and it would be, the stuff that people would make would be so much more culturally relevant, and there would be so much more interesting stuff happening immediately. I mean, it's really cool and really open. It's just, I get the feeling that coming out of Sony, they have a lot of you know, problems with piracy, and they want to clamp down on what you can do, and they don't want you to, you know, trade content around and stuff. But
I think you should also keep in mind that that was a beta, and there was only, you know, X amount of thousand people in it. So maybe we'll see even crazier shit.
I already thought the stuff that was there was really cool, but I mean, what we're not going to see is, you know, all this copyrighted material or obscenity that I enjoy greatly.
I think that the game you're looking for is called Second Life.
It is most definitely not.
Have you played? You did the hooker story, right?
No, that was Sean. Okay, I've played my share of Second Life.
Yeah, but have you played Second Life with Sean?
I've hung out with Sean and his character with the giant penis and the crack pipe that it smokes that makes its head spin around. His character like has an animation where when he takes a hit from his crack pipe, his head spins around, and he's wearing a fucking beer hat. And basically, all Sean does is go around to various like sexual parts of the world and interrupt people having threesomes with his like disturbing animation. and inanity, but I can't believe that we're bringing up like a Sean story right now. It's funny. Like I'm just gonna. We should just recycle anything that Sean did. Just tell it over and over again.
Surefire success.
Yeah.
No yes. kidding.
Yeah.
I think the antidote to that would just be have Tina start griefing everywhere.
Yeah.
And like take videos of Tina griefing people.
Oh yeah. Anthony and I got to get on that again. Good grief. What,
have you been doing anything lately?
Well, on Call of Duty World at War, the beta that we were playing, a little bit, and then on PC, Call of Duty 4. But, yeah, I mean, we gotta get on that again. We were just busy with BlizzCon and everything, and now that we're back, we gotta... Well, you're going to Vancouver, though, tomorrow.
That's true.
Yeah. We gotta find time.
What are you doing in Vancouver?
None of your business.
It's a dude.
What?
The person that you're meeting.
Not that there's anything
that you
wrong
met
with
on
that.
Craigslist. It's a dude. I guarantee you.
The rebirth of Chuff Love.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
Vancouver is boring.
Yeah.
If you ask me. It's really pretty. It's like, but it's sort of like a scrubbed version of San Francisco.
Why does everybody tell me it's so awesome then? Is that just because the weed is cheap?
No. I don't think so. Maybe it's only because I came from San Francisco to Vancouver and I wanted like an actual vacation. And what it was like, oh, great, I'm in the Canadian Vancouver. I mean, the Canadian San Francisco.
Right.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't know. I was there for 3 days and I was ready to go like the second day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So. I'm going up there to see shit that we'll talk about probably next week. But yeah, I normally would be totally excited to take a trip, except I just got back from BlizzCon. Not really.
Yeah.
You're exhausted, right? Did I run you through the ground, through Disneyland? Like, yeah. Oh, my God.
I feel...
Did you, guys went to Disneyland?
Yeah.
Did you go on a teacups and vomit?
No, teacups, none of the sissy
rides. I got
rides.
Sick the first night, though.
I took him on Tower
Wait,
of Terror.
Wait, there are non-sissy rides at Disneyland?
Yeah, Tower of Terror. It was awesome, right? Like, and I made Anthony hold his hands up, and he was screaming the whole time.
I was laughing most of the time.
Yeah, you were screaming. You were screaming.
Laughing is a form of levity, which is to deal with being scared. So that's the way I do it.
A little pee came out.
Wow, you made a fact right there.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I've never been to any sort of Disney theme park.
No. It's hard to believe that you're American.
They're fun.
I'm not.
I'm from Orange County, and we had season passes like all through junior and senior year in high school.
Nice.
And we used to go there and hang out and make asses of ourselves in front of small children.
Nice. That sounds good.
Ryan, bring us back to what we're supposed
back to reality.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. What are we hitting up?
Back to some PC games, like the ones we saw at BlizzCon.
Yeah.
Which ones?
You should tell.
Sounds so enthused. You're like,
yeah. I also like that she said it all exasperated. Like, oh my god, which ones?
I wanna mention.
Didn't have three games.
That when we were walking to the convention, like the first morning, we were like all tired and stuff. And then a car pulls over to the corner where we were walking. He yells, "Ryan Scott!" and then just takes off.
That was a little bizarre.
What the hell? That's what he said.
Wait, did he actually say "What the hell"?
No,
he should have.
I think that was the response I muttered. Like, when
that's even better.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So the moral of the story is: if you ever stop Ryan Scott on the street, make sure you follow it up with "What the hell?"
Yeah.
Ryan had many international fans come up and greet him.
Yeah,
there's a few asshole pictures of us like floating around there like we're like we're important.
No, the best was when like they would go up to Ryan and, you know, shake his hand and say, "Oh, I love the podcast," and they're like, "You're Andrew, and I don't know who you are. You're a girl." No, but anyways, StarCraft 2, that was good, right? Did you play any of that?
I didn't.
Ryan didn't play any games when he was there. On.
No.
That's too bad.
What the fuck were you doing, man?
I was going to panels. I was live blogging.
Oh, how was that?
So was there an interesting panel, or did you just go because you had to go? Did you, were there ones that you wanted to actually be at?
Well, me and Damien went to a few of them just to see if there was any like new information. They were all World of Warcraft panels mostly. Right. And there wasn't any new information.
All the
big stuff came out of the StarCraft. And,
well,
like,
and
Diablo
3 has the new wizard class, right? I want to pick up that game just because I want to be a wizard. Because
you want to
be the
stuff.
Chick.
There were chicks in the previous games. There was the Amazon in the previous game.
Oh, whatever. The wizard's awesome. She carries that freaking glass orb in her hand. Yeah. I like it.
I like magic stuff. So I'm looking forward to the wizard too, because I want to make all kinds of things go boom.
So did you meet up with any of the people that you play WoW with in real life while you were at BlizzCon?
He did meet.
Is it
Blizz?
I don't know. I don't know how you people say it.
BlizzCon.
Okay. I like how you say "you people." Like it's a different species.
It is.
You take Blizzard and convention.
Okay.
And you cut off the first syllable.
But did you meet
and you combine them?
Did you meet any of the people that you play with?
No.
But he did.
All the people I play WoW with are like my real life friends. So.
That's how it is for me too.
But sorry, go ahead.
No. You speak.
Me? I just wanted to bring up
the
white woman that he loved that he made us wait in line for.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
World of Warcraft.
What's her name again? I keep forgetting.
Well, there's this web series about these World of Warcraft players called
Guild.
The Guild.
Yeah.
And the main writer and stars, this girl named Felicia Day.
Wait, she does the writing too?
Mm-hmm. She created the show. And she was also on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which I'm a big fan of.
And she was also the star in Dr. Horrible.
Yeah.
The Joss Whedon musical.
Jesus.
And I waited
in
line.
Does she have like a PhD from the School of Nerd?
I waited in line to buy a copy of their season one DVD and get it autographed.
And then the best part was when he was like, you should totally be on our show sometime.
Well,
shut up. I'm talking. and he was a
dramatic interpretation.
And he was like, you know, you should be on our show. You let me finish too. I don't want to hear a fucking word from anyone. And she was like, immediately got turned into like, "Oh, we're going to start doing meetings now. I could refer you to this guy. Please continue down the line." And then eventually she saw where Ryan worked. She's like, "Oh, one up. I like one up. Okay, I guess we could do that." But for that brief second when Ryan was like, "You should be on our show.
We've got this podcast. You should call into Skype and talk to us."
Yeah. That was from an outsider's perspective. I saw that brief look where she looked around like, "Where's the nearest person?"
See, I didn't hear that part of the story. All I heard from David Ellis was that like she was like, "Yeah, she wants to be on Legendary Thread."
Once she saw Ryan work throwing up, it was like totally cool. But for that brief second, she was like, she was like hitting the red button under the
table. Eject. Hey, with your permission, can I put those photos up that I took of you meeting her?
Sure.
She looks like really nervous in the first three, and then in the last one, you're giving me this look like I'm fucking badass. And then he's behind
you just caught me at the right moment as I turn.
It looks awesome. He looks like I don't give a fuck about her. Like, white women only. Okay.
I asked Ryan if he would be polygamous.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know I know Ryan would never like ditch his fiance.
Yeah.
So it would only be polygamy or nothing. And he wouldn't answer me. He said that wasn't a fair question to ask.
I thought that all men were polygamous.
Huh.
We're looking at you for an answer.
Yeah.
Ryan.
I think you need to clear
this
up.
Do I speak for
right
all
now.
Men?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cuz I've been struggling with this issue myself. I need you to clear it up for me. Yeah.
No, nah.
You're going to have to keep struggling.
Anyway. I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that.
That's okay.
There's this thing on your microphone that looks like you've been in a knife fight with...
What?
Just leave it. Don't touch it.
Don't touch it. But there's a bit of foam where it looks like, you know, you were in a knife fight while wearing the dorky like podcast helmet thing, and you got slashed across the face.
Nice. So.
Some people might say it makes you look better.
Yeah, it's a character builder.
It's like the scars that my character has in Fable 2.
So, anyways, none of us played Diablo 3. We suck. But we did play some StarCraft.
Oh,
how was it?
So terrible.
It was all
really?
Right. It was.
I got so mad at Anthony.
Really?
She did. Cause
oh,
I,
really?
Well,
how did your matches go? Give us a blow by blow.
God.
So who played what?
I played Terran in the first round. And she played Protoss.
Obviously.
And then I, because I just picked random because I don't really not familiar enough with any of them to be like necessarily good with any. Mm. And oh. So I. And then I just started, like, but the thing was that I, like, it's kind of disappointing because I was, like, since I knew I was playing multiplayer, I immediately jumped back into, like, old things. So instead of building, like, a ton of new shit, I was, like...
Like I was.
I remember what makes siege tanks. I remember siege tanks work. I started doing that. And I built a couple of new things, but it was pretty... I guess I was kind of a boring player.
Why do you need to win so bad?
I know, right?
This is why I don't like the end. This is why I told her, right? First off, we only had 20 minutes.
Okay.
So I was like trying to win within 20 minutes or at least put up a good fight within 20 minutes, right? And second off, I come off of playing like Company Heroes with Sean and them where it's just like go, 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 go the whole time. Mm-hmm. Plus that made me really competitive playing with them. And I'm just a competitive person by nature. That's why I don't like to play games with my friends, man. ever since, like, we used to all get together and play, like, Bond on 64 or something. Everyone else play, I just watch. Because I didn't want to be that guy that was like, fuck you.
It's just funny to have 20 minutes with a game that you really want to check out, and yeah. Then like what you want to do with it is like, you know what? I just really want to crush Tina. I don't want to see any of this new shit. I just want to see
know,
her
right?
cry.
No. That story should be prefaced with the fact that the whole time we were talking up before going to BlizzCon, she was talking about how she was going to beat me.
Okay.
So are you calling me out now?
No, I'm not calling you out.
That's cold.
I'm not calling you out, but what I am saying is that everyone's making me out to be an asshole because I went in there and played like I did. And the fact of the matter was when I went in there, I thought that's what was going on.
It sounds to me like Tina threw down the gauntlet.
Yeah. She did a little bit, but to be fair, she was doing the smart thing, which was like building new
checking
units.
Checking out the new units.
Exactly.
Because yeah. We had to write about it.
And I was like...
She was building pylons the whole time.
Yeah, obviously.
I was playing.
So is what you wrote about it like, God, all the new stuff sucks.
No. Well, actually, I was really frustrated because when he was attacking my base, I wasn't even ready for it. And then out of like frustration, I made these new air units and I didn't even like take a second glance at them. But for some reason, they couldn't attack ground units. I'm like, what the hell? And that pissed me off.
Well... I mean, scouts were pretty worthless in the original
game. Well, they don't
have
scouts anymore.
Ground,
no, it was saying, a new air unit.
I know. I'm just saying that even the old ones sucked at attacking ground. Like,
not really. No.
So,
no.
Well, I disagree with you. I thought they sucked at attacking ground.
Well, when we played the first StarCraft, who won? Or who was ahead?
That would be you.
Yeah. No, but it was interesting. You know, the Vespian gas that we were mining, like the. The thing overheated.
The thing overheats, yeah, because they want you to have to do more micromanagement with the resources rather than just like setting it and forgetting it.
Really?
The Ronco way.
That doesn't sound fun.
Well, I guess
I don't want to have to micro. I want to click on my peon, send them to the gold mine, and just assume that they're going to keep doing their job without me having to slap them around.
Yeah. Too bad.
That's all we can say, right?
We're Blizzard and we make millions of dollars.
Well, I mean, like, how is the resource gathering part of the game, how is making that more complicated, more fun, and more, like,
I guess because then
the
you gotta, like,
was it really
watch
complicated?
It. No, it wasn't really complicated. It's just, like, you just have to be mindful of it, which I guess is maybe
so. Wait,
just another one of those things that tournament players will have to be mindful of when they're playing. It just makes that extra.
What exactly happens?
Like,
just overheats, and then you have to have, like, your engineer repair it.
And it, like, blinks red. Right,
yeah.
And it just has a cooling down period.
So it's basically it basically just switches off at some point, and you have to switch it back on.
Yeah,
that seems tedious.
You don't even really have to watch
to
it.
Be fair.
I mean, if it overheats, your little.
I mean, is there something you can do when setting it up so that it won't ever overheat?
No,
like you just didn't do it right.
No, yeah. To be fair, they haven't even hit open beta yet, so all this shit is so preliminary.
True.
Yeah, but all things shown to the public are subject to nerd rage.
That's true. Yeah. I'm sure they got all, like, even when we did interviews with the people, they would tell, like, me and David, we were, like, the easiest interviews they had all day, because, like, I would go in there and ask them, like, like bigger concept questions about Diablo. And they said everyone else from like the Korean press or like from like DiabloBlog.com would come in and be like, I can't believe you fucked up the barbarian.
Oh, God.
So they said they were like totally happy to answer all of our questions that were like about pricing or something like that.
Well, that you know, like you see that shit all the time with Blizzard games because people are so obsessive about them. Like when the WoW patch came out yesterday, like the first thing I saw was like, I was an Ice Mage up until this patch, and I'm never going to play an Ice Mage again. In fact, I don't think I'm even going to play a Mage anymore. They're totally broken. You just see that happening.
Yeah, people should definitely go back and read Ryan's live blog
about the Q&A.
The Q&A panel. Yeah. But it's a shame that maybe you can find like YouTube rips of the thing off pay-per-view because they fucking broadcast that shit on pay-per-view. That's no joke.
Really?
Yeah.
No joke.
Holy shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like they had cameras. In America?
Yeah, they had cameras.
Holy
probably
shit.
For Koreans, too. They had cameras.
It's a commercial. You paid for a commercial. Oh, my God.
But, you know, you would see some people get up there and be like,
you've completely destroyed my paladin's ability to do long-range damage.
And it would be great because you'd see Ryan write his blog question, which would be like, sit the fuck down. That's Ryan Scott telling you that.
And yeah. I can't imagine what it would be like to be a developer with a fan base like that. I mean, no, it must be a lot of pressure. I mean, they're constantly at risk of just having their own, I guess, like Martin Luther come from like South Korea.
I know, right?
And like bomb their headquarters or something. Scary fans.
There were a lot of Koreans there.
You're fucking with their entire life when you mess with their game. It's like, it's crazy.
They start pamphleteering campaigns.
Yeah.
But we played.
The big news with StarCraft is it's going to be a trilogy of games.
Yeah. We learned that the Zerg and Protoss campaigns are expansions.
Right. But each one is like its own full game.
26 to 30 levels.
Yeah. Wow.
It's great because like there's plenty of people on forums and just, you know, even just the comment section in the news story that we did who are like, nah. Oh, way to just bring money out of this Blizzard.
That's the whole point.
Well, look like...
You know what?
They're going to give you a half-assed product? When's the last time they did that?
Yeah.
But I can tell you it was Justice League Task Force on the Super Nintendo.
But also, like, when people complain about prices, it's funny because you know how much something costs? Whatever you're willing to pay for it. And obviously they've studied it and they've discovered that people are willing to pay a hell of a lot more for it and they're going to get their money.
Well, but if Blizzard is asking me to pay $49.95 every like 1 to 2 years, which, you know, is what it's going to be. It's not like they're going to churn them out.
You think
like,
so?
Yeah.
But that's actually okay.
But that's my biggest problem with the game isn't the fact that they're separate expansions, but it's the fact that I'm going to have to wait a year to play, like, you know, through the rest of the campaign for each one.
Well, could do is you could just wait until all three of them are out as a battle chest, and then you'd get exactly the experience you want.
Yeah.
They've said that the stories are going to be, I mean, there's going to be, like, kind of ending points.
Yeah, every story is self-contained. But I think
it's all part of a larger...
So what happens with that? I mean, like, obviously people are going to be using all of the characters.
In multiplayer.
Well, the multiplayer is... they didn't know 100% what they were going to do, but obviously you're going to be able to play all three races in the multiplayer.
You just have to prepay for the other two games.
No.
If you want access to
this is a horrible rumor.
I heard that was true.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to play.
You should blog about it.
I will.
Yeah, you're going to be able to play multiplayer with the first game that goes out. You know,
that's just weird because like then you got to figure out all the stuff associated with each race, like
that's because they're doing it for people that aren't punk bitches.
Well, you know what we asked.
I see.
We interviewed Rob Pardo, who's like Blizzard's head overlord of all development.
Mm-hmm.
That's his official title. And one of the things I asked him was, for somebody who's not familiar with StarCraft, you know, it's like a lot of times people play single player to kind of as a tutorial to learn the races so they can. Competitive and multiplayer. So, what happens with these other two factions?
His answer was just Korea.
Well, no. I mean, he said that what Blizzard feels is that, you know, single player isn't really that much of a tutorial. It deviates so far from like kind of this, the sort of experience you get in multiplayer. That
extremely
you,
true.
You can't treat it that way. Yeah. So
it's true.
Okay.
So I don't think that's an issue. Yeah. Well, people according to Rob Pardo, it's not
think,
going to be
I don't
an
think
issue.
It's an
we'll,
issue.
We'll see about this three different versions of the game, you know, when the economy really fucking tanks. And they'll be like, do you want all three for $30?
That's yeah. when you buy.
Yeah. Or it'll be like all three for $300 because their dollar's fucking worthless.
That's entirely possible. Although now, well, anyway, don't get me on this.
But he also suggested that like in the future games or campaigns that if there were new units or something that they would possibly have a patch or something.
I mean, that would make sense. They've done that with the things like Company of Heroes and stuff. They've patched in units. It's not like there isn't precedent set down for it, but... Will they patch in shit for free is the question when they could fucking monetize it. When they've already talked about monetizing things on Battle.net as it is.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's
what do you think they're gonna monetize on Battle.net? Are they gonna go like full on microtransactions
with that
bullshit?
I think it's gonna like the way it was described was a lot like World of Warcraft where you could monetize like if a person wanted to transfer like something to another account, like on WoW when you want to transfer a character to a different server, you pay $20 for
right.
that. So they want to find ways to do that, like maybe change your Battle.net account name. They would charge you like $5 for that.
Wow.
Little things like that.
Though. Yeah, it's the things where they can get away with charging you $20 to press a button or do a drag and drop operation.
Right. I mean, that's totally what they're I don't think they're ever going to charge in the sense for like content that would make someone better than someone else. Or
right.
something. But I do think that they are going to try and make Battle.net this thing that like I've had someone basically tell me that the Battle.net goal is to like make it to where there's no more anonymity where you just go on and like every 2 seconds you're just creating a new Battle.net account name.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you go on and you'll have a Battle.net account name and anytime you log on to StarCraft, if your computer has an internet connection plugged in, you sign on StarCraft, it's like playing Company of Heroes, you're automatically on the Relic Online, you're automatically on Battle.net. So at any time you can just click multiplayer and you're already being like, you know, in Battle.net. So it's always stat tracking you. So like it's stat tracking your single player achievements in StarCraft, which there are, and keeping that with your Battle.net account, which just all these things make people not want to change their accounts / not just go in there and be a douchebag.
Yeah, so Matt, you don't have to worry about playing against like a South Korean like Rockstar.
And supposedly they're making it sound kind of Steam-esque in the ability to like keep a friends list and send messages while people were in StarCraft to each other and chat.
Charge you 5 cents a message.
So yeah, well, again, I don't think it's going to be like that, but I would be really surprised if they didn't try and make Battle.net like a distribution service for their own games as well. Mm-hmm. Like I mean,
Stardock is doing it.
Right, know? Stardock has Impulse, but if anybody could do it successfully for just their own fucking games.
Right.
Well, they already have that sort of in place on their online store already.
Right, but I'm saying I foresee it being integrated into Battle.net is the whole thing. I think the whole point of Battle.net, like 2.0, whatever you want to call it, is that it's
going that makes to a lot of sense.
Going to be like there won't be any need for their users to use Steam, you know, because I'm sure a lot of people to this day probably put StarCraft into Steam. So that they can be on Steam at the same time while playing StarCraft and receive Steam messages and that sort of thing.
Mm. Right.
It was completely take Valve out of the equation is their goal, I'm sure. And if they can, once they get enough people, if they
hateful.
Can find a,
hateful.
Find a way to monetize it, I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
So what else did we see at BlizzCon?
Saw a lot of people dressed up in costumes. A disappointing amount, I have to say, were hired by Blizzard too. Like I thought those.
Really?
Two, I thought,
especially the women.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I thought. I thought.
I'm just saying.
I thought. Oh, wow. I thought the Night Elves and the Blood Elves that were walking around. I thought those were people that were there on their own dime. Like, and they just
super
had
awesome
costumes.
Right.
Honestly, looking at them.
Honestly, honest to God, I thought they were just people that were there on their own dime with costumes.
I just thought that lots of exotic dancers play WoW.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Totally.
See, you know, you get home from a long night at the club. You want to play your pally.
No, they were really tall and slender and pretty.
Why can't people like that play WoW? I don't. I think there totally are people like that.
I don't.
Felicia
it's not
Day
that
plays
they can't
WoW.
Play WoW.
She's pretty. Yeah. Wow.
It's not that they can't play WoW. It's that they have other things to do.
Yeah, Anthony.
Yes. Like what?
Yeah,
like,
really.
Have sex, make money, socialize in real life, eat good food. Buy expensive property.
I do
drive expensive cars.
I do all these things, and I play. And I
why can't yeah?
I play.
How
WoW.
Can WoW not fit
not
into this?
Hating. But the costumes that we did see that were authentic were pretty cool. Like I was taking photos of some of the guys. I saw a mage in a green outfit, and I told him I want to take a photo. You were there, right?
Yeah.
I want to take a photo of him. And while I was getting ready to take the photo, he started casting a spell with his hands up in the air.
She didn't even ask me to pose. He just did it.
That's awesome. Are you gonna Photoshop in the effects?
I should.
Oh, man, awesome. That is a good idea.
That is really
cool.
Lightning bolt.
There was this one dude that was, he was dressed up as a warlock that we were running around, like, interviewing people and doing random stuff.
No,
but
you,
like,
were interviewing people. We were just watching.
Yeah, that was fun, watching you interview people.
You were my...
Floor crawl.
We were your entourage so that people would take you seriously.
Dang. Mm-hmm. My bodyguards. But there was this one dude we interviewed right at the end that, we walked up and we were like, can we interview you? You know, he's like, oh, yeah, you know... I'm over all the people who made fun of me. Like, what's Aww. One more? And it's like, it's sad that at this convention that the dude just automatically assumes, like, we're going to make fun of him.
Wow.
Yeah. And we're like, you know, they're like, we're not going to try to make you look stupid. Like,
and then the
come
first
on.
Question
like, we're here
is
covering
like, why are you such a douche?
even if you had been like, what spell can you cast me right now? It wouldn't be you making fun of him. It'd just be like you having fun with it. Like,
yeah. You know what? But the best thing about real, authentic, good old-fashioned American nerds is that they don't give a fuck. Like, you should not give a fuck about what other people think of
especially
you.
Especially when you're
really
BlizzCon.
A nerd. Yeah, yeah. Just enjoy it. You know, you got your thing. That's the best thing about it. You are a rugged individual who has a taste for something a little odd. That's
what
right.
That's what it feels like at PAX. You feel like you're surrounded by a bunch of nerds that are happy to fucking be their nerds.
Well, yeah. It's just like, a gathering of a subculture, like a nerd subculture.
But I wouldn't say that we're not nerds either, though. So
I would never say that. I mean, the whole
fun of them.
The whole thing is my plans right now is I'm like checking the clock because I have to meet Philip so that we can go comic book shopping and I can pick up my pre-ordered games. And then after that, I plan on sitting around eating shitty food and under my Star Wars poster and playing games. I mean, I like that a lot.
I just mean, though, like as a subculture, the best thing about nerddom is just people's willingness to just be themselves. You know, if you go see like a cool band in a club full of hipsters, they're all like staring at each other and worried how they look. And they're, you know, they're jockeying for position in this
lame-ass world.
That
was just the place last night. It was exactly like that. Yeah.
But, you know, people who are, you know, into nerdy stuff, they're comfortable in their own skin for the most part, you know.
Except if they're trying to get involved.
You know where I do feel some of that sometimes though amongst nerds is amongst like people that are involved in gaming press sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That you do still get some of that nerd elitism that I'm just like, fuck all you guys. Yeah. Man, fuck all those people.
Yeah.
But it's a
competition to be like the coolest nerd, which is the most hilarious stupid thing possible.
I'm a nerd knight with many nerd squires.
Yes.
Didn't you guys think that it was a little too dark in BlizzCon though?
Yes.
Yeah,
I always felt like it was nighttime.
I guess, but I mean,
it looks like it looked. I didn't go, obviously, but it looked like E3 to me. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I guess to me, it felt like
E3 also too dark.
It felt like a Journey concert the whole time you were there. Like any time, Torn Mage might come out and start rocking a song. hold on, and I just want to clarify that there is no such thing as a Torn Mage. I get called out for that.
You have a Torn Shaman.
Yeah, I know, but I just want to clarify that I know I'm not an idiot, and I know that there are no Torn Mages.
Torn Druid?
Yes.
Hunter? Warrior?
They only do magics to do with
life.
Let's
be comfortable
let's
to
go
be
through
yourself.
All the different characters.
I'm saying, if anybody's confused.
Yeah. You should just be comfortable to be yourself, Anthony. If you want to be a Torn Mage, you can fucking be a Torn Mage.
I wish I could be a Torn Mage. Anyways.
That'd be awesome.
There was a lot of cool shit there. You saw people waiting in line for like hours for merchandise that they could buy online.
Yeah, like 4 hours.
Yeah.
Why?
Crazy. I overheard that there was a discount though. That's why.
It had the whole Disneyland vibe too. You know, like it's just like
the line.
I was telling Tina when we were in Disneyland. It's like you know, that fool did something amazing where people pay to go into his park. And then on top of that, they just like want to, after being there, they just want to buy his shit.
Yeah.
The same thing at BlizzCon. I paid $100 to be here and all I want to do is buy more shit. Please.
Yeah.
It didn't help that it was right across the street from Disneyland.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were all excited the whole time.
So have you been to Anaheim before?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Plenty of times. Huh. Just a little kid still. Like, yeah, like that. Oh, well, talk about your cactus cooler. That blew my mind.
Oh, yes. Oh,
what about my cactus cooler? That
was like, crazy.
That was like the first thing. Have you ever heard of cactus cooler? No. Being from
yes.
Texas?
Talk about
Have we never
cooler.
Talked about this?
Talk about it. Go.
I'm totally in the dark.
Okay, so I'm sure I have mentioned my love for cactus cooler on the podcast before. But
a lot of people don't know that cactus cooler is an alcoholic beverage. You can only get in Southern California. And that Ryan, when he leaves the office on trips like this, especially when he's having a power trip, like, where all these people are yelling out his name and shit, he goes a little crazy. He turns into a pretty blatant womanizer, I gotta be honest. Wow. You can ask Aww. Kathleen Sanders about that.
Oh, wow.
No, that's all me.
So on, that's what she was talking about.
Talk about your cactus cooler.
What is cactus cooler?
Those lies.
Cactus cooler is an orange pineapple soda made by the 7-Up Dr. Pepper company, or the Snapple Group, whatever they're called now. And it's only available in the southwestern United States. So whenever I go to, like, Skip, yeah, you're on...
This is my E3 soda.
Yeah. See? Skip knows what I'm talking about.
Huh.
Whenever I go to E3 or anywhere down there, like, the first thing I do is, like, I'm going to go find some cactus cooler because it's the only time I'm going to get it.
I don't get that, though.
It's just so
sort
random.
Of like, have you guys ever been to, like, the South? Like, the real
Once.
South?
No.
Cheer wine? Have you ever had cheer wine?
No.
It's a cola that's sort of... somewhere in between Cherry Coke and Dr. Pepper.
Oh, I want to try
that. It's so delicious. And you can't really get it, like, north of Atlanta.
See,
it's really
I don't get that.
Really
like, like, why is that there and cactus coolers? Like,
I
cactus
think
cooler only appeals to Republicans.
I think it's because these are regional drinks that were bought up by the big soda companies after the fact, and they continue to distribute them only regionally because their marketing plans only allow for a certain number of drinks nationally that they're going to pay to market.
You know? Wow.
That's unfortunate.
I'm sure you could buy that shit off somewhere on the internet and have it shipped to your house.
Yeah, but that would probably qualify as an addiction.
I don't know. Well, it was funny when we were there at BlizzCon, like one of us, I'm not going to say who, was like, oh my God, Disneyland the whole time. And then you're like, cactus cooler.
No, I made everybody go with me
to
on the way back to dinner, back from dinner. Yeah, it's 7-Eleven and... looking for cactus
You bought
cooler.
Like 5 of those.
I did.
Have you ever made a cocktail with one? I wonder what kind of drink you could make.
It's actually, if you look it up on Wikipedia, there is a drink.
I would not know about that.
It's
what's the alcohol
drink? It's called
drink?
Cactus Jack.
Yeah. Cactus Jack. Why do I feel like you're bullshitting?
I swear.
That, hold on. I had to look this up on Wikipedia.
Yeah, because I didn't believe
this.
You.
I do want to, that is true. It is called Cactus Jack. It's okay. Jack Daniels and cactus cooler. I'm not lying. That was on the Wikipedia page, at least. So...
Right. Who the hell? Somebody didn't believe me that this, like, existed.
Me.
Yeah, okay.
Or my friend Joe.
Oh, so I had to look this up to prove to you guys that what cactus cooler was. And then I found it. It was awesome.
And the label looks so weird. It looks so, like, circa 1980 or something. And then I just pictured Ryan, like,
What's wrong with
holding
1980?
That and, like, Nabba Zabba in the
I'm
going
to be honest. I think the reason the cactus cooler label looks the way it does is because they're trying to get in with the audience that buys a... what's that Mexican-made soda called? You know, like a...
Jarritos?
Yeah, they're just trying to get in with the Jarritos card. It looks identical, the label. Like, very looks cactus cooler. So this is like the... I was about to say.
So,
this is the white person's attempt.
Yeah. So it's like Bud Lime.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Bud Lime. It's like, you guys really think you can get away with charging $6 for lime-flavored Budweiser? Jesus Christ.
Artificially flavored.
Yeah.
It's just got a little bit of citric acid in it. And it's like, oh, it's lime flavor.
Yeah.
I went up to my family reunion in August, and like there was a bunch. It was up in Idaho and in Montana, and there was a whole bunch of people up there that like stocked their fridge with Bud Lime.
Wow.
Yeah. So now you know the demographic.
Delicious. I personally could buy a Budweiser and a lime. I'm not above, you know, squeezing a lime now and then.
Right.
So just cutting it up.
It's not what
possible,
I hear.
And it will save you a couple dollars at least. So.
Anyways.
So what comics did you want to buy, by the way?
I actually don't know, but I do need to go pick up my game pre-orders. Oh, and then I'm buying a Walking Dead calendar. That's the main reason I'm going to the
You're
comic
buying
shop.
A Walking Dead calendar?
Yes, and I would buy a Walking Dead t-shirt if I found one that I thought was cool.
Is the calendar on your taskbar not enough?
I'm not even planning on writing on it. I just want to hang it.
Oh, okay.
You can't buy you're an adult. You can't buy a calendar and not use it. A calendar is an item with utility.
I have a phone that has a calendar on it and all that shit. I just want this to support.
You don't need an explanation. If you want it, go get it.
Yeah.
Robert Ashley.
Nope.
Why are you giving me a hard time? You talked about nerds being nerds. Let him be who he is. All right.
But this is just a little over materialistic, perhaps. And then to buy a calendar that you're not going to use. Just saying.
I want it for the artwork.
Oh, look, there. He looks hurt. Oh,
I was going to say, I wish you could see the look on Anthony's face right now.
He's like a puppy dog. Damn it, I'm sorry. I'll buy you your damn calendar.
Never worked with my parents.
What games are you picking up? You said you were picking up...
I'm picking up SOCOM and Dead Space.
Cool. Nice.
Good I just played Dead Space.
That game is fucking awesome.
Yeah. It is like the most amazingly well put together Western game I've seen in a long time.
What game?
Dead Space.
Dead Space.
It just has a kind of polish.
Western as in whitey whiteys?
No, as in like the U.S. or, you know, Europe. I haven't played a game. It has this kind of polish that I associate with like sort of top tier Japanese games. You know, like, have you played video games?
No.
Like Anthony's got this expression on his face right now. Like, you know, there's like this kind of polish that usually does not happen, especially, you know, with like an internally developed EA game that is just, you know, pixel perfect. Everything runs amazingly smoothly. The interface is really well designed. The controls are really nice. It's kind of ridiculous in that you're supposed to be on this scary spaceship doing some life-threatening shit, but really you're like the world's most overworked super, and you're just going around like fixing everything that's broken in the spaceship. So you're like, oh shit, the engines are down, go fix the engines. And you know, you go down to the engine room and fight a bunch of shit. They're like, oh no, the satellite array stopped working, we need to contact someone. So that's all you do throughout the game is going around fixing shit. And so it's a little ridiculous in that sense, but it's a great action game. And there are some really scary enemies. Like they've got this, I don't know what they call it, they've got some sort of enemy who looks like a football player who's naked and mutated, and whenever you run into him in the game, it's he's always like way across the room, you know, like 100 yards away, and you'll just hear, and suddenly he runs at you at the most astonishing speed, and he's right in front of your face in like 2 seconds. And every time you hear that sound, like you start fumbling the controller, you're like, oh god, because you know he's gonna be right on you. And like I don't know, there's something about also the fact that the game's economy works so well. They've really got this thing down sort of like Resident Evil, where all the choices you make with what to do with your money like really matter.
Really matter.
You don't have that much money to go on, and you want to make your weapons better and your suit better, but at the same time you don't want to end up with like no ammo. And so you're constantly freaking out about not having enough money and trying to skimp on ammo when you're fighting people, and so you don't want to panic. But it's a really good game.
Is that another game you'd say you wish was out for PC? Because it'd be vastly superior.
It is out for PC, motherfucker.
Ooh.
Read the internet.
Whoa. Uh-oh. Nerd credentials.
Oh, look at that. Anthony.
Wah.
Wah. Okay.
Wah, wah. Actually, I think the PC version doesn't come out for like another couple weeks. But it is going to be on the PC. But I would imagine that it'd probably be better.
Anthony's like, I'm finding so many ways to kill all of these people right now.
Are you? Am I at the top of your to kill list now?
Yeah, you must.
You were actually on the list the way it was written.
Who else? Who else was on the list?
Ryan.
Is that it?
Well, Jeff and Sean, but they're dead.
Yeah.
They're
dead.
Yeah, they moved on to other jobs. that's Anthony's story.
That was a good PR move, by the way.
I know you really wanted to kill that little
boy. I'm secretly on Sean's Facebook. That's why Sean's sending all these like 2-word messages to everyone, because I ain't got time to respond to all of them. Just like, yo, enter. Nice. Babito, babito, babito.
And you spend the rest of the time just mining the internet for like the grossest clips you can find so that you can convincingly operate his Twitter page.
So I'm totally curious about WoW at BlizzCon, though. I mean, do they have like a bring your own PC or something, and people just sit in a large room and all play WoW together?
No, there was actually no place for people to play WoW, basically.
I mean, they had, you know, Wrath of the Lich King station set up.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But if you were hardcore, you set it up in your hotel room so you could go home at night every night and play.
Wow.
That's what I think. When I went to PAX with my friend, before he did the bring your own computer, and before the night before PAX, he had it all set up in our hotel room so he could play games before PAX.
Nice.
That's what I'm saying. Awesome. If you're hardcore, that's the links you go to. Yeah.
Living
so.
The dream.
So the like the stations, did they have like level 75s or something that you could play? Or
I think they were all set up with like level 55
Death Knights.
Death Knights, yeah. They're the new hero class.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So.
So what do people do at night at BlizzCon?
They go and they eat a lot of Cheetos and chocolate Nesquik.
And that's not true.
Get the munchies.
No, that's pretty true.
No.
Dude, when we went into 7-Eleven one night, I was like, fuck it, the line's too long. It was obscene. I'm not
lying. Yeah, I remember that. It's like eight or nine.
Yeah.
Oh, so, man.
And all the restaurants around there, too, you know, crowded.
Yeah. I bet the 7-Eleven owners are like, they have their, you know, they all went and got their Day of the Dead calendars, and they have the BlizzCon dates marked down as like, you know, they're like, what do they call it? Like it's their Black Friday.
Yeah, I'm sure like when like the guy at 7-Eleven didn't realize that it was BlizzCon, he like made the call to Frito-Lay. And he's like, holy shit, we got code blue. I'm going to need an extra large shipment tomorrow of hot and spicy Cheetos.
They need to do some sort of public service, Blizzard, you know, to do, promote some healthy eating, you know? Like,
pair
up with Washington
like
apples or something. Like, and what just have some screen when you log in. It's like, eat a fucking apple. Jesus Christ.
You know what was funny? In their goodie bag that they were giving away, they had hand sanitizer.
Yeah, but apparently nobody used it because everybody that came back from BlizzCon got
sick.
Dude,
I used that shit. I used it too.
And
I'm not talking about you guys. I mean, you're like decent human beings. But like, I'm talking about the same chodes that like walk out of fucking the bathroom at E3, walk out of a stall, and then walk out of the bathroom without washing their hands. And I'm like, I have to shake people's hands all day.
Yeah, I totally made Anthony and Ryan use hand sanitizer all the time. Right, Papa Smurf.
Yep. I just build up a tolerance.
Yeah,
you guys are weak. Like people are way too clean. There are a few bugs that can get to me.
Your hands are like covered in crap or something. Yeah, all the time? Dirt and crap.
You live in a dirty world. You don't want to get rid of bacteria. Bacteria are your friend.
Think about how big of a how much of a punk bitch any of us would be if we got sent back to like the 15th century.
Oh my!
We'd die in like a week. They'd be like, "Have a piece of bread," and we'd be like, "You fucking killed me."
It would just be like 5 days of diarrhea followed by the consumption. So.
Oh god!
Yeah, maybe you are doing us a favor. Like us using the hand sanitizer, we're also just making like bacteria that's like
make it stronger.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the best thing you do if you have a kid is just take them out back and set them in the dirt. Kids need to get dirty like for years. They just need to be no seriously.
Dude,
get them
totally
out of the house.
True. It is totally
like,
true.
You know, when we were kids, we were out there. Yeah, you remember coming home from going outside? You know when people went outside and you'd play, and you'd come home and you would just be like a filthy like chimney sweep, covered in God knows what, because you've just been like burling around the neighborhood.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's like one of my family members. She's like super hyper about making sure that her kid is never around anything that hasn't been desanitized or antibacterialized.
Wow.
Or
it's like, and what about Bob?
You might as well get HIV.
Well, now that
your immune system.
And now she wonders like why her kid, like when he went to school, he's sick all the time. And it's because he was never exposed to anything.
Dude.
The boy in the bubble.
I'm just picturing like if you had a kid, you'd be like,
pigsty.
You'd be like, go out in the backyard. You'd be like, I don't want it. You'd just shove him in the dirt. And then you're all, look at me, right in his face.
No, like me and my wife, we're old enough where we talk about kids, and we are totally, it doesn't matter what year it is outside. At our house, it's the 40s or the 50s. Like, there'll be like no electricity days. It's going to be hardship and brutal struggle. There's none of this like buy me. Like, you want something, you're gonna earn it, and you know that you need to go outside, get some sunshine.
You guys don't even have a fireplace, but that fool's gonna be chopping wood.
he's not gonna be that cold. You know, you get used to it.
So. Little Robert Ashley is gonna be the only one to survive the zombocalypse.
Yeah,
the first 2 years of his life, you gotta toughen up. On the floor, you get a blanket. Enjoy it. Next year, you might get a pillow if you appreciate the blanket.
You don't wish you get coal in your stocking from Santa, because it will warm you.
Yeah. How did we get to this?
I don't know. Sorry.
Kids are spoiled, man.
I agree.
You like go into any game store, like
you just want to.
When I was a kid, man, you got a video game. It was like
that was your present for the year.
Dude,
yeah,
it was.
It was the craziest thing that could ever happen to you. You'd go to school. You'd tell your friends. It would be like the Pope came to bless you personally at your house. And now I just see kids like begging and screaming for anything they want, and they get it. You know.
Actually, we saw a lot of that at Disneyland, huh?
Part of the reason. Like, I'd see kids that were being adorable, and then that would quickly be offset by the kid that was just like being a little bastard.
Yeah, he's just like in line.
You're just like, you're in the happiest place on earth, you little jerk face. I just want to grab him by his shoulders and shake him.
Feel the magic. It's magical.
So I think the moral of the story is they shouldn't put hand sanitizer in the goodie bags.
Yeah.
They
should put apples.
You've convinced me, Robert, actually.
Yeah.
And they could just label them something like... from the forests of whatever from WoW, and people would eat the shit out of them.
Some of them on eBay for like $500.
They should give you a petri dish full of various bacteria.
Eat these.
Do you guys ever have to grow bacteria in science class?
Yeah.
In a petri dish? You remember how bad it stank? It was like someone's feet.
Well, that's
gross.
That's because that's what makes us stink, Robert, is bacteria growing in our body.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Sorry.
What else did we have to talk about? Oh, I guess I wanted to make sure that we pimped the fact that Ryan's floor crawl video is going up in the next few days.
Oh, God.
So that should be rad to see. And then
I'm excited. I hope
I've seen the preview version.
Like I said earlier, I hope the transition between each scene is you going,
ah! And then now there's a preview for StarCraft that me and Tina did, as well as a preview of Diablo that David did up.
Is it up already?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
And then, I don't know. You know, what else is it? What else is anyone?
There's my horrid live blogs.
I did a story
on the recession.
Dude, your live blogs were awesome.
The recession, recession gaming. It's all about.
Oh, it's on the front
cheap,
page right now.
Cheap gaming tips. Read that shit.
At the time when this is recorded.
Yeah. So. You know what's funny? I interviewed the guy from Cheap Ass Gamer.
Yeah.
That site to try to get tips from him, like on how to get games cheap, and he's like, I don't read Cheap Ass Gamer. And I was like, wow, thanks. And so instead I talked to my friend who's like, you know, like a fucking corporate attorney in DC, but who's the cheapest person I know. And he had like the dirtiest, most guerrilla ways to save money on games, because it's just like this guy who refuses to pay full price for anything. And his tips were so much better. I'm like, you were in the wrong business, man. You could have a, you know, a website.
Yeah, but Cheap Ass Gamer, the whole reason that guy's successful is that the users do all the work for him. He just provides a place for them to do it all.
Yeah.
That dude doesn't have to worry about paying full price for games, because he buys all his games with the money he makes from, like, because all the money he makes, most of it is from people going to Best Buy or like, what's that Japanese website that buy Japanese games? Like PlayAsia. Everyone goes through him, and he gets all that money. He always talks about it on the podcast he does about how he has like thousands of dollars in PlayAsia dollars, basically. So he doesn't care.
Do a podcast?
He does. Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
Wow.
So
that seems kind of like a bad strategy, though. If you have a website where people who are like trying to save money come and hang out all the time, and then you have a podcast, and you're like, I'm rich, bitch.
Well, I wouldn't say he's rich, but he does live in Tokyo, like with his wife.
Yeah.
He's rich.
Yeah.
I want to know some of the tips that your attorney friend. Give us a preview.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite ones that he told me that he does often is that he has Gamefly, and when he wants a brand new game, he will attempt to time it so that he returns one of his games right around the release day of the game that he wants when it comes out, so that it's a brand new disc that comes in the mail, and then he buys it on the used discount that you get, so you get like $15 off.
Dang.
Yeah, and you know, and you get it without all the grubby, you know, toddler hands all over
it. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, and I need the.
So
I
this
need
guy
to have
makes
that.
A ton of money, but he's still a cheap ass.
I think he has a lot of student debt, and I don't know if he makes a ton of money.
You said he was a corporate lawyer, which immediately says to me,
yeah,
cha-ching.
Yeah.
It also says to me that video games must be like his alternative to doing like a lot of drugs to deal with the hours he probably has to work.
I wouldn't say that drugs are excluded. But yeah. And let me think of like what the other more interesting tips are. I mean, a lot of it is totally obvious, you know. I think the best tip for not paying so much for games is just to not buy the hype. And I feel like you got to run out and buy something the day it comes out.
Or even like the limited edition of something, right?
Oh, well, that's the obvious. That's the most ridiculous thing. All the limited edition is that they've done a focus group and asked a bunch of nerds, how much are you willing to pay, say, if we gave you like a special Tinder Rondo wall scroll? You know, if we gave you a music CD, how much would you pay? You know, they're just finding like the maximum price. It's like the difference. They have, you know, the MacBook had this thing a while back where you could buy a different color for the first time. You could buy like black MacBooks. Right. And the whole thing was that it cost like $200 more, and it was the same thing. But people who are mega Mac nerds were willing to buy it just to be the guy with the different one.
I think it's it all comes down to like an elitist tax, basically. Macs have it. Macs in general, in my opinion, have elitist tax. Like, oh, you can get a similar price PC.
Yeah.
And it's just like there's an elitist tax if you want to be like having the Gears of War 2 tank on your shelf.
Shut up.
There's
no elitist tax. Don't go there.
Hey, you were the one that brought up not buying special editions. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah. I usually don't, but you know.
But they got you on Gears that one. You're like, I'm such a Gears fan.
I'll tell you, like, the way that the way that they always get me is when they... Yeah, I do it
I
a
do
lot.
It occasionally as yeah. well.
Well, like, where they always get me is if they include some kind of, like, making of thing.
Yeah.
Because that shit is endlessly fascinating to me.
That gets all the same people who buy the Criterion Collection of DVDs. I mean, it's like the same sort of fascination to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've thought about paying $10 more, you know, like even when it was like Lost Planet, because it came with like a fucking figurine. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. It's like when a Radiohead put out In Rainbows and they had that stupid special box set that was like $100 for records and all this crazy stuff. Or like the people who would brag about like downloading the album and like donating $1,000 to them. And they're like, wow.
Donating. Yeah.
Thanks for covering my portion.
I can understand that same sort of nerd fascination. I mean, like, you know, I did that today with my favorite band. I own all their CDs, but today I bought all their vinyls just because I wanted
what
to
band
have
is
them
this?
To, on my shelf.
It's
well, Murder like, by Death is the
Murder
name
by
of
Death.
Band.
Oh, I like Murder,
Murder
by Death.
Murder by Death.
Yeah. Murder
well,
by Death.
That sounds quite light and fluffy.
I used a Murder by Death single in one of my animation projects at school.
Nice.
Murder by Death is an excellent band.
Are they like a harmony based like folk group?
So it is like folk music, but it's it's more like a like sad semi-evil cowboy music is the best way to describe it. except they have a
wait, so it's not metal?
No, it's not.
That's
no.
what I, no, I would have thought isn't. Too.
No, it's not at all. It's like sad cowboy evil cowboy music. Like the first album
I never thought of it that way,
the
but
first
I like
album
that.
That I heard of theirs, which is Who Will Survive and What Will Be Left of Them. That's the name of the album.
Yeah.
It's a themed album that's all about demons attacking a Midwestern town. So the whole album start to finish is about demons attacking.
What's your fascination with the dead, man? You got the zombie comics, the band who does a concept album about demons invading a town.
Yeah, I was a religious studies major in college. Uh-huh.
Religious studies.
So, I mean...
That does it.
So I assume you're going to buy Left 4 Dead when it comes out.
Yeah, I'll be buying Left 4 Dead, hopefully.
I'm playing tonight.
Are you?
Oh, shit. That's
yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You and I are going
to like, are you? We're going together.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God.
I would totally go to that, but Ryan, the reviews overlord, has given me like 3 things due for EGM on Monday.
Dang.
So.
Yeah. How much time do you really need to put into We Cheer?
Hey, don't even talk about that. That hurt my feelings.
What?
So that was like one of the first games that you made to review. And that doesn't even work. So I was playing the same damn song for 4 hours. I was like, I'm not retarded. This is the easiest song.
What were you going to say,
Ryan? We
should
probably wait till the review is up to talk about it.
All right.
Yeah, you don't want to break embargo on We Cheer.
Well,
there's no embargo because the game's out.
It's
already
out. But I did actually have to. I had to drive all the way to Anthony's place just to confirm that I wasn't retarded.
Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I offered to review We Cheer. Remember, I was in your office and we were going over stuff, and you're like, "You want to do We Cheer?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I want to do that."
Because I say it like that.
I think, yeah, like you said it jokingly, and I was like, "Hell yeah!" Because reviewing a game that, I mean, I don't know anything about the game. It sounds like an abortion.
Wow.
reviewing a game like that is just so much fun.
Exactly.
It is.
I was about to say it sounds like an abortion. Robert was about to whisper.
You better be careful.
Be careful of what?
You better be careful. I have some stuff I could sign you up for.
You know,
probably
it's like the best worst game ever.
Yeah, that can be it can be a lot of fun. Although I did once have to review 50 Cent Bulletproof.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was the lead review on, so I played through all the way because it had like story segments with Eminem and shit. And so I was like, I felt like I had to beat this whole game, and it was the most irritating 3 days of my life. And it was, at the time, my wife like didn't know better. Like she does now, and she stayed home to work. She was like researching her dissertation, and so I would just be downstairs playing 50 Cent Bulletproof and being like, "God, motherfucker, God!" Like, it's so frustrating, like impossible. Like your AI friends are horrible, and the aiming system was the worst thing. Anyway, it was fucking 50 Cent Bulletproof, okay? Mm-hmm. And I had to play the whole thing. It was the worst. So there are bad games,
okay.
But We Cheer sounds like a good one.
Good bad,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Ryan, I wanted Papa Smurf. When am I gonna get the my comics, the Tiny Titans?
Oh, you're a Tiny Titans fan, aren't you?
Yeah.
Why does this you guys feel like a scene out of a porno?
What?
Hey, Papa Smurf. When am I going to get my comic?
And he's like, no, you're a Tiny Titans fan.
What? I didn't know you were into Tiny Titans.
Let me tell you about the Tiny Titans I know.
Oh, man.
Like the one between it.
Now I'm just picturing like Ryan on the cover of a porno called Tiny Titans.
That makes sense with Ryan's stature.
Butt naked, and it has one of those like stars blocking out his genitalia.
I can't breathe. Oh my god.
Wow. Wow, just wow.
Oh my god. Okay, I'm sorry. All right.
Can't breathe.
So. So in Robert Ashley's non Earth 2 porno Tiny Titans universe. No, Tiny Titans is a kid's comic about the Teen Titans. Except they're Tiny Titans because they're little kids. And they go to like superhero kindergarten.
So someone was like, we need to make Teen Titans accessible for younger people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't hate on my comic, dude.
But it's really good. It's a cool comic.
Yeah?
Yeah. Wow.
How many issues of it have you read?
There's 8 out
right
now.
Let's be honest.
No, there's only 8 out right now.
You haven't actually read any of them, and you're just saying that.
I think I read the first 3.
You read the first
3? See, like, what I'll do is I'll buy comics. I'll go for, like, 5 months and just buy comics and never read any of them. And then I'll sit down and be like, I'm going to read this entire run.
Yeah.
So eventually I will read all of them.
It's not about the story. It's about the artwork.
Yeah, the artwork is really nice.
Yeah.
You have that's it. Like, you have another book on
sometimes
your desk.
I don't buy that art, about people who are into comics. You know, like, oh, it's all about the art, man. It's like the people who like subscribe to Playboy and they're like, I just read the articles.
What?
Like, yeah.
To be fair, there is time. Well, it's the opposite for me. Like, it's not just about the art. Like, for me, it's about the writing. But if the art sucks, I can't get. It's sometimes it's like too much to get past.
Mm. Yeah.
Like the guy that writes Walking Dead, he has a great artist with Walking Dead, but he also does this comic called The Astounding Wolfman. I just can't get past the art, so I won't even read it, even though I know it's like written by the same guy who likes amazing.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can understand that. Yeah. It's sort of like a Family Guy, which I can't watch like 5 minutes of because I can't stand the way that it looks like a horrible Sunday morning comic strip. Like, you know, it looks like something that my parents would have read in the 70s or something.
Well, it's like it's the limited animation of it that pisses me off because like I was an animation major in school, and so I see all the shortcuts that they take and it just makes me mad to watch it.
Yeah.
But I'll still watch it if I'm like
to me it's just the characters. Bored. It looks like, you know, like they're related to Ziggy or something.
Best looking character ever.
Family Circle or Family Circus, what is it?
Yeah, Family Circus.
So let me ask you guys that are like, you know, PC podcast veterans here. I really want to I really want to play DirectX 10 games, but I realize that this is going to require a Vista upgrade. Mm-hmm. And like do you think in the long run it's worth it to play like, you know, Crysis and Clear Sky, you know, and everything with like all of their DirectX 10 bells and whistles?
I don't know. It depends on how much you hate Vista. I don't really hate Vista. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, yeah, and since they released the service pack and stuff, it's like gotten way more optimized for gaming, and so it's like, it doesn't get nearly as many crashes or No, things like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a bad idea. I just haven't upgraded myself just because...
Web browsing was really slow for me for a while, but strangely, Google Chrome, which I think at this point I might be the only person on Earth who still uses. There was like a,
I love it, man.
Yeah, it's like 10 times faster than Firefox.
Yeah, all right,
I don't know why.
Does Flash work in it?
It
yet?
Is. Yeah. Like, I have trouble with it.
For me?
Firefox is really slow for me. I don't know why. Yeah, you Anthony's looking at me with like disgust. Are you like a Firefox freak? Or
I think he's hated you this whole podcast.
No, I don't.
No, it's a false. Yeah.
No, I remember being excited and emailing everybody, be like, "Chrome's out."
Yeah. Make it the sound.
And do you even? And do you even use it anymore?
Not anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the version, whatever version I have, has issues. So
I totally dig Chrome, at least on my.
Yeah,
I wonder if it has like different Vista and XP issues, because on my XP box at home it runs great.
It's XP I'm running on.
So
the whole thing locks up all the time, despite like their insistence that like no problems are localized to specific tabs.
Wow.
Well, that's not the case for me. Flash doesn't work in it.
Wow.
There's no goddamn bookmark management tool, and it drives me up the wall because I have like 10 years worth of bookmarks that I've never like organized, so I can't quickly find any.
Gotcha.
Anyways,
I'm just saying.
You're so disgusted. So anyway,
I'm just pointing out the fact that that our podcast is derailed into talking about
web browsers. Yeah, that's horrible. Anyway.
And that if we're not talking about web browsers and the content in the context of talking about Flash games.
I tried to bring in a legitimate PC gaming Vista discussion.
You did very legitimate, and I think the answer you want is that Vista's.
Yeah,
I think it's totally worth it.
Get you some Vista
if you really want DirectX 10 bells and whistles. I just don't care myself enough to have upgraded yet. But
I can be a graphics whore when it comes to games. Like a game with really really excellent graphics and environments can suck me in and like make me forget about some of the other flaws. I am willing to admit.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
No one else here is willing to admit that. You're on your own.
I'm on my own. That's okay.
Did you like Mega Man 9, alone. Matt?
I haven't played it yet. I've had too much other stuff to do, unfortunately.
You should play Mega Man 9.
So I think we've kind of come to a...
wow.
An end?
Yeah, an end.
Yeah, we've derailed this enough.
I just want to bring up one last thing in that I'm playing Stalker. The original Stalker for like the first time all the way through, and so far I think it's totally awesome.
Several members of our podcast will be playing that for won't be on this though. It'll be on one of FM backlog.
Yeah, I got an email about that, and I responded to it, and then I never heard back again.
They want you on it. That's what I'm saying. They want Babita.
Yeah,
your name carries. Your name carries clicks.
Yeah.
Dr.
Mike. Yeah, that's a great game. I mean, I played that game like. Nearly to the end, and then got stuck in this horrible situation where my armor got shitty, and I couldn't get into like radioactive zones, and then I had to either grind for a new armor or quit, and so I chose to quit.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a bummer when like a flaw like that can ruin an otherwise like good game.
Yeah, the thing was I just wasn't keeping my eye on it, and so I wasn't saving up. I wasn't doing like what I needed to do to progress, because there's just a lot of stuff going on in that game that you don't think about. But yeah. Killer game. I'm still sort of interested in playing the new one, even though people seem to not be so into it. I played it for a preview.
Wow.
Like looking at the preview really made me want to play it like big time, especially like the swamp area that they kept showing seemed like really
It was really cool. I was enjoying it. I mean, it's like crazy bugged out, but I mean, this is the first game, and I just don't care when it comes to Stalker. I don't know. It's like... they're beauty marks.
I like turtles.
Yeah, we were discussing how that should be like the response to any question you don't want to answer. So if you're watching, well, I guess you guys will be listening to this tomorrow, but tonight is the presidential debate, and I really hope if someone asks a really tough question that one of the candidates
all they say
will say,
is,
I like turtles. you know?
All right.
Anyway.
All right, on that note, I think we are out.
Yep.
Well, we have... an interview that we conducted with Blizzard's Rob Pardo at BlizzCon.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And that full interview, I think, were both of you guys in it?
Nope. No, just me.
You and me and Damien David. And David, yeah. So we're signing off, but yeah, stick around and check that out.
So where should we start? I guess it'd be great to get some details about how the whole trilogy is going to work. Assuming they're not all going to come at once, I wouldn't think.
Nope. you know, it's going to be three separate products, you know. So kind of like I was detailing just in the panel is, you know, we kind of got faced with this choice of, you know, do we want to really do it to the scale that we wanted, you know, each of these stories, really making sure that we develop, you know, kind of a full space opera around each of these races, or do we, you know, kind of want to do something smaller, more linear. And, you know, in typical Blizzard style, we're like, you know, we got to do it epic. We got to do it big. But that kind of means we can't do it all in kind of one package, we didn't think, you know. So the first one's going to be the Terran campaign, which is Wings of Liberty. So you know, I think another way of thinking of it is, you know, that's going to be the launch of StarCraft II, you know. When people think of the launch, it's going to have the Terran campaign in it. And then sometime after that, you know, what... You know, in the past, we might have considered expansion sets. We're almost thinking as products. I think more like, you know, like, I think Guild Wars kind of has more of this sort of philosophy where they really try to make sure that each game is kind of like, feels like its own product. And that's what we want to do rather than having expansion sets that feel like kind of just tacked on. We want them to feel like products on their own.
So are the three campaigns going to tie into each other?
Yes.
Is there going to be, like, a specific order you want to play them in?
Yes, absolutely. They are consecutive. It's that's why it's the trilogy, right? Just like Lord of the Rings is a trilogy or Star Wars is a trilogy, they certainly go in an order. So, you know, the first one is Terran campaign, the second one is going to be Zerg, and then we're going to wrap up all the questions with the Protoss. So we just want to be careful in that we don't want to feel like just one story that we just chopped it into thirds. So we want to make sure that each story really resolves itself, but there is an overarching thread that goes through all three that will finally culminate and be finished off in the Protoss campaign.
Can you give us any information about when or how you're going to release each story?
It would be through Box Products. So, you know, the first campaign will be part of the, you know, the StarCraft II box package that will come out when it's ready. And then the next two will follow that at some undetermined period of time. I mean, it's hard for me to say right now, but it'll probably follow a similar sort of development cycle as an expansion set. So hopefully sometime between a year and 2 years after would be the next one, and then the one after that. But
since you're releasing the single player as separate campaigns, when you release the other two campaigns, the second and third, are you planning on updating the multiplayer as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in some ways you can almost look at it as, you know, we're going to approach each feature set differently. You know, so multiplayer in the shipping box will, you know, like I said on stage, will be fully realized for all three races. And then what we do for, let's say, the second product with Heart of the Swarm, I don't know what the multiplayer feature set will be yet, but we'll absolutely be adding to the multiplayers also.
I guess what I'm getting at is that, say you have someone that buys the first game but doesn't necessarily buy the second or third game, will the multiplayer, like, will it be sort of partitioned against one another where you, someone who only has the first game can't play against someone who only has maybe the third game?
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's going to work yet. You know, I'm not sure if we're going to kind of go with more expansion rules that might require the first product or not. I'm not sure how that's going to work yet. We're kind of have to determine that in the future.
I don't have a whole lot of experience with StarCraft. I kind of got into the RTS thing after StarCraft came out. But so bearing that in mind, like, let's say, you know, I get this first game. It's the single player is all about the Terran. If I don't know anything about the Zerg or the Protoss, is there going to be something that's going to... Is there going to be, like, some kind of basic tutorial, something that's going to kind of teach me what those are?
Yeah, absolutely. We still want to do a tutorial for each of the races. We're even kind of prototyping some ideas for, like, a multiplayer tutorial, too, that would center around each of the races. Because, yeah, in the past, we've kind of taken the tact of the single player kind of teaches you the multiplayer. But kind of the fact of the matter is it really doesn't. It may teach you the races to some extent, but single player plays so different than multiplayer. Because in single, it's, you know, kind of learning the missions, going at a slower pace. It's, you know, figuring out how the mission works, you know, almost like puzzle solving in a lot of ways. And, you know, the enemy doesn't behave at all like an online player does. So we decided that if we're going to teach you multiplayer, let's teach you multiplayer.
And the other thing about multiplayer, like when I used to play a lot of Warcraft 3, you know, it's typical, I guess, with any online game, you run into players who will just kick your ass right off the bat. Like, there's no, you know, like a lot of publishers try to set it up so players of equivalent skill level are more likely to get matched, but that's not always executed very well. So are you guys doing anything that will that make that happen a little better?
Well, I definitely think what you're talking about is a matchmaking problem. You know, the trick is, how do you get people of equal skill to play against one another? And I agree, in Warcraft 3, you still saw some of what you're talking about. But I would say if you look to the games previous to Warcraft 3, I think Warcraft 3 was a big step up in matchmaking. And I feel like, you know, for its time period, it did a pretty good job. That doesn't mean I think it's perfect. And certainly with StarCraft 2, we're adding a lot more into our matchmaking system to try to kind of elevate it to the next level. Like, for example, one of the problems that I think you see with Warcraft 3 specifically, and one of the reasons why you see that behavior, is that people can make as many Battle.net accounts as they wanted to. So if you're a player that's, let's say, highly skilled and you're already, like, ranked very high, that person will never be ranked or never play against a new player. But if he goes out and makes a brand new Battle.net account, then we can't track him, right? Because he made a totally different account. So to the system, he's 0-0 record again, even though he's actually highly skilled. So that's like an example of something we're going to try to do for StarCraft 2. You know, we're going to put a limitation on how many Battle.net accounts you can make based on your license, you know, based on how many games you've bought. You know, if you bought one game, then you get a Battle.net account, and then you can't just go off and make new ones for free. So I think that's an example of how it would help.
You have, there's like an achievement system attached to the game this time, right?
Yes. Yeah. No, we have, we're going to add achievements to StarCraft 2. We've obviously announced in detail how it's going to work in World of Warcraft, but it's something we want to do for all Blizzard games so that, you know, you can kind of get achievements and compare across games.
So I played a little bit of StarCraft downstairs earlier, and I noticed that Protoss is missing scouts. I just wanted to know if there's going to be a way to maybe add them in later on, in terms of maybe like making your own multiplayer map and including them. And can you explain more about how, I guess, more about the customizations that you can do later on?
So those are two kind of big questions, but that's okay. So scouts are definitely not part of the Protoss anymore, and that kind of goes to a design philosophy of how we develop StarCraft 2. You know, when we were developing the game, we didn't want to just take all the old units and then add twice as many units, because that's really just going to make the game more complicated. It's going to make each of the units not quite as pure in purpose from one another. You know, so we kind of took the tact of, you know what, we feel like StarCraft's at a good level of complexity, and part of that is what are the different sort of units and how many are there. So when we started developing StarCraft 2, we wanted to make sure that anytime we added a brand new unit, it kind of had to take the place of an old unit. So that's one of the reasons why you might not see scouts or, you know, some of the other units that are missing, like vultures or wraiths, or, you know, a lot of really fun units that didn't leave because we didn't like them. I love all the StarCraft 1 units, but we did want to make the gameplay different. And the primary way we do that is through adding new units, changing some of the old units, keeping some of the old units, but still keeping the complexity the same. Now, as far as it relates to modding in the map editor, you know, you'll definitely be able to make your own units, but you'll still be somewhat constrained by artwork, right? Like, we're not necessarily making scout artwork for you to be able to play with, but you could certainly take an existing unit and make them play almost exactly like the scout from the first game.
Can you talk at all about any potential ways that you might like to evolve Battle.net as a platform?
We definitely have a lot of things that we want to do with Battle.net. There's not a lot that we're really talking about concretely yet. It's something that I'm sure at some future time I'll either do a panel or a presentation or a story to try to really in detail go through it. But Battle.net's extremely important to us. You know, we don't view it as just an online gaming platform just for, you know, any of our games or matchmaking. You know, we really want to be, you know, a premier destination for online games, you know, because we finally are getting to the point where we have kind of multiple online games that are popular at the same time, and we really want to, you know, have a service that is as good as anything out there and hopefully better. So, you know, an example of that might be the achievement system, you know, which is something that's going to be new across all of Battle.net, you know, where we actually want to have a way to kind of unify your identity across all Blizzard games so that, you know, achievements work, you know. So that's one example. Matchmaking is another great example. I really feel like, again, for its day, Warcraft 3 had great matchmaking. There's lots of games out there that kind of took cues from that, and that's something we again, kind of want to bring to the next level. You know, we're huge into esports. You know, we really want to, you know, support the esports community out there through ladders and tournaments. So those are some some examples of things that we want to, you know, really provide, but we have a lot more stuff that we're going to talk about at some point in the future too.
So when you were working on StarCraft 1, I'm sure you guys never really imagined that it would take off as such a competitive, like professional game. So now that you know that expectation is there for StarCraft 2, like how does that kind of change the development process for you guys?
Just awareness more than anything else. I mean, each game surprises us, I would say. You know, you think you kind of know how people are going to respond to it, and there's always surprises. So certainly the rise of esports and StarCraft itself being almost a national sport in some place like South Korea was surprising. But the way we develop it is we just make sure that we keep in mind that audience. We don't develop to them, but we definitely are aware of them. And they also end up being a great resource for us, too, so that when we're actually balancing the game, back when we did the first StarCraft, we didn't have pro gamers that we could watch play games and help balance the game for us. I mean, I had to play the game, was, you know, playing ladder games every day, you know, at my skill level, trying to make sure we balanced it. And now we have professional gamers around the world that we can invite to our betas and help us.
Any others?
Tell our listeners about that shirt you're wearing.
The Rainbow Domination Diablo 3 shirt. Yeah, so obviously after we announced Diablo 3 and everyone got to see the game, there was an interesting little backlash from some of the previous fans that really didn't like how much color we're using in the game. And specifically, you know, there's kind of one scene that had a rainbow in it, and people would kind of point it out and going that we're going all soft and, you know, we're, you know, not going to be true to the original Diablo, which, you know, we've of course kind of refuted since then and talked about that we're still going to make the game gritty and bloody and gothic and all the things that we've done before. We just, you know, wanted to have an art style that was kind of freshened up. You know, we want to take the opportunity to kind of add some color and some vibrancy to a lot of the environments, but that doesn't mean that they're not still going to be evil and spooky. But since the fans decided to, you know, backlash a little bit and make online petitions, we thought we'd have some fun and make a t-shirt just for the team that you know, was all about rainbows and unicorns and soft and cuddly things, and put the Diablo 3 logo on it. So that's what I'm sporting today.
So in the presentation you had, you mentioned Kerrigan's dream movie sequence being added to the Terran campaign. Is there any other ways you guys are going to try to catch up new players into the story that haven't necessarily played StarCraft 1?
Well, I mean, we're certainly not going to retell the StarCraft 1 story, but we want to make sure that for the people that haven't played StarCraft before, that we don't assume that you know the story. So when we introduce the characters, you know, be it somebody like Raynor or Kerrigan or somebody new like Tychus, we want to make sure that we're treating each of them as new characters to the audience. And where we have opportunity, you know, and it was just a great opportunity for the Kerrigan Dream Cinematic to be able to even show something like that cinematically, because, you know, once, if you're a new player to the StarCraft universe and, you know, you kind of see this monstrous character as Kerrigan, you know, you're not really going to understand, you know, quite the level of that tragedy unless, you know, you've actually kind of played the first game or seen the cinematic.
Anything else? This is a little off topic, but is there an update on the World of Warcraft movie?
Not really right now. I mean, it's something that, you know, we continue to develop. You know, we've been talking to different directors, and the script itself is under development, but kind of no major announcements to talk about.
I have another question about the trilogy. Are all three games going to be nonlinear?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons why we made the decision we did, because we really want to have a lot of player choice within the missions and, you know, certain other types of mechanics depending on the campaign. So, you know, we want to try to make it as branching, as interesting as we can within each of the campaigns.
I just wanted to clarify, because I thought I overheard you saying that the Zerg game was going to be a little bit RPG-ish.
Yeah, a little bit more in that, you know, I don't want to, because we haven't officially started developing the future ones. So right now we're kind of still in a brainstorming phase until we get to it. But, yeah, it's like if you look at So you look at the Terran campaign, and kind of a lot of the themes and the meta mechanics deal with being a mercenary and, you know, kind of getting paid credits for doing missions. Well, that's not really going to fly for Kerrigan, Queen of Blades. I mean, she's not going to go and act as a mercenary, right? So we kind of have to have different meta mechanics within the game that really is appropriate for the Zerg. And then when we get to the Protoss, what we do for the Zerg isn't going to make sense for the Protoss. So that's kind of what I was alluding to, is that it's all three of them are going to be nonlinear. All three of them are going to kind of have the philosophy of trying to have player choice, but each of them are going to try to be true to the races themselves. You know, kind of taking that same sort of multiplayer philosophy of, you know, StarCraft is about three completely different races. We want each of the campaigns to also feel completely different from one another.
Is that it for StarCraft questions? All right. How are you liking Warhammer?
I've only played a couple levels in Warhammer, you know, so I don't have a strong personal opinion yet. It's tough for me personally just because, you know, do I want to get into another MMO or do I want to play WoW or do I want to play the other 20 games that are out there? So yeah, I haven't got too far in it yet.
So if you haven't been playing too much Warhammer, what are you playing these days other than obviously StarCraft 2?
What am I playing? God, I play a lot of different stuff. So let me think. Got to think about all the games I've been playing. So actually, I've been kind of on a casual gaming kick lately, strangely enough. Like I played Peggle Knights recently. This little like Cooking Mama type game called Order Up I've been playing.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
So I've been playing that a little bit lately. What else have I been playing? One of the older games that I kind of come back to a lot is Civilization IV, because I never got around to playing the Beyond the Sword expansion, so I was playing that a little bit recently. Love Team Fortress 2. Oh, I know what game that I played recently I'm really excited about, but it's not out yet. But luckily, Valve opened an office down the street from us, so they let me come over and play Left 4 Dead. That's going to be so awesome. I want to like go over there and play that every day, but I don't know if they'd let me.
What Team Fortress 2 class do you play?
I play a few different ones. Like I probably like the Engineer, the Sniper, the Heavy the most between those three. So it's kind of interesting in Team Fortress that everyone kind of has kind of favorite classes, but I love TF2.
Well, we have to cut it short. But I have one quick request for the third game. Can you add Scouts back in?
Oh, that's so nice. Since you asked so nicely, I'll definitely consider it.
I have one question to take us out. What class do you play in WoW?
Oh, see, I play all the classes in WoW.
What's your main?
Your main.
Frank Pierce was actually willing to answer this question earlier today.
Yeah, but the thing is, we don't allow Frank near class design, so so he can go ahead and say that without being accused of being a favoritism. So yeah, I'm going to decline to tell you my main.
Foiled again.
I play all of them, though. So I play all the classes. I mean, the funny thing about classes or races is since I'm pretty involved in the design, I kind of get in – each time I develop one, it becomes my favorite while I'm developing it. And then once the game shipped, they become kind of interchangeable to me. You know, it's so different as a gamer versus a designer. Because as a gamer, you know, I can talk about Team Fortress 2 because I don't have, like, personal design attachment to them. But with WoW or with StarCraft or something, it's like they become kind of like your children. So you kind of love them all. I know it's a lame answer, but it's actually kind of true. So,
all right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.